Good to see you again, and it's always good to hear you guys sing and to see a good house full today. I want to direct your attention to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 today, and Lord willing, next week, verse 7. So my address today is particularly directed to the role of wives, and then next week we'll pick on the men. This is God's word. Follow in your Bibles as I read the first six verses of 1 Peter 3. Hear God's word. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with an imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. This is God's word. May he help us understand it. As Joe said in the introduction to me, I've been working at Reformation Bible College in Sanford for, I think this is my fifth year, I really like working with young people, since I am one, or I was one, I guess. But it's grand to spend time with them and help them along as they are getting more comfortable with me and texting me and wanting to talk about their issues, girls and young ladies and young men, about the future and struggle through dating and those sort of things. So it's been quite an adventure, and I feel useful, since I have been very happily married for 52 years, I think. Most of them are happy anyway. So my sermon today is entitled, unfortunately, Submission, because I could have found a better topic, I suppose, to bring in. But actually, you're going to find out in this text and the following text that submission is a commandment of God for all of us. It reaches every person at every age and throughout our lives. But I would ask the question rhetorically, I suppose, who here loves to be in submission to anybody but Jesus? And I think I know the answer from my own heart. So we have a place to start off. So God has to tell us to be in submission. And he has to repeat it because of our own sinful nature and the culture in which we live. A submission is not a cherished value except in very limited areas, not including marriage. I refer you back in your hearts and minds to the original sin in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve against God. And the sin, of course, was over obedience to God, which is another way of saying submission to God. A full submission to God. And it is still a test for us. Will we submit to God? Now, the Lord Jesus, though he was God, fully God with the Father and Spirit, had to pass through this gate, this word, this concept. He had to live this concept fully while he was on earth, as you probably well know. He had to be submissive to God's will, which, as again you know, included his sacrificing himself in great pain, the pain of taking upon himself our sins, to say nothing of the pain on the cross, which he submitted himself to. So he had to go through this particular gate, I'm saying, but he willingly did so for our salvation. And now Peter, who is the human author of this text, had a huge struggle with submission himself. You remember when Jesus was explaining to his disciples the plan of his Father for Jesus to earn our salvation by a personal sacrifice and death on the cross, Peter objected. You will never die. I got a sword here. I'll protect you. And of course, he meant well, but didn't understand well. But you understand that Christ himself had to suffer for our sins, but Peter would not readily accept that will of God, and we struggle with it ourselves. Now, the orientation here to this text, briefly, is that Peter, the human author, was also married. And that gives us hope, although we have altogether confidence in the infallibility of God's inspired word. It is, I think, comforting maybe to know that Peter was a married man, and he had to learn to live what he preached here by the inspiration of Scripture. He had to deal with being a leader to a wife who wasn't perfect, and he himself was not perfect. And his purpose in writing to us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, you could note if you want to, but you don't have to. It's to sanctify his readers. That's the main purpose of the letter. To bring us along in our understanding, to sanctify, build us up, make us clean as we follow the word of God. And so part of that sanctification includes, in large measure, that we appreciate and pursue submission, not only to God, but as you see in chapter 2, verse 13, if you just glimpse at that, 2:13, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And so we have the bigger picture there to deal with. Look at chapter 2, verse 16 for another cue. We are to live as servants of God. So this is all preparing us for chapter 3. And note, Peter's, we'll look at, see this a little bit. Look at 2:18. He addresses particular actual servants, 2:18, look at that. And then 3:1-6, wives. Then in verse 7 to 3, husbands. And then verse 8, everyone else. So godly submission to the Lord himself, for God and to his honor to please him, is the theme of this particular passage. To receive his blessing that comes from obedience, you and I must incorporate into our psyches, into our way of life, all these orders of God to be submissive one to another. So today I'm going to speak directly to wives, or mostly about wives, in the first few verses, and then Lord willing next week, if I'm allowed back, to husbands. 1 Peter 3:1-6. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if they do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or putting on of clothing, but let it be the adorning of the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, for this is in God's sight of precious, very precious, for this is the hope. This is how the holy women of old hoped in God and used to adorn themselves, submitting to their own husband as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. All right, the general order here, offer submission to your husband out of reverence to God, by faith in God and trust in God, that as you do so, he will bless you and bless those around you, including the raising of your children. Now, it's not if and when he deserves it. And, of course, Sarah will be an example of that in a moment, but just so we're on the same page, you're not to obey and submit when you think he deserves it. And also notice, this is not submission to all men, women, but as if men were superior to women, which we are not. This is not about gender per se, but about marriage. Both male and female, are equally the image of God. Because God, in his wisdom, has ordained such posture as in marriage. And it says willingly, that is heartfelt, by faith. Due to God's created order and all-wise plan. Remember, Satan's original temptation to our mother Eve was to trick her into behavior contrary to God's word and design. Still, Satan provides his temptation. Now, here are some blessings that we can look at in our general order here. A submission in marriage provides a temporary reward for a proper and happily lived marriage. It also helps to train your children how a Christian home should be lived and enjoyed for their future. Also, it is a witness to your church. As you women associate with each other and learn how things are done, you witness to each other. It's for a witness to your sinful world and society. As you have occasion to talk with your neighbors or just talk about your family life to others, your witness, your testimony of being submitted to your husband comes through in ordinary conversation, perhaps, and this is a witness. Both men and women revere and obey officers of the law for biblical reasons. And with other biblical orders and responses. Both men and women must submit to God and to every human institution. We saw that in 2:13. We are all under orders to be submissive, not just wives. Now, here's some specific or special orders that we want to consider. Look at chapter 3, verse 1, and then the second half of verse 1. I'll read the whole verse. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, pause, even if your husband behaves unbiblically, you obey and trust him. Now, of course, the obvious caveat to that is, unless he tells you to do something ungodly. If he tells you to cheat on the income tax, of course, you won't do that. Stuff like that, that's pretty obvious. But if your husband is telling you things that are in keeping with God's revealed will, it is your responsibility to obey. Now, your primary way of helping your husband is not going to be verbal. Now, I want to say that's true in this context. But I know that in well-managed houses and loving homes, husband and wives have a very good conversation with each other, a lot of tremendous agreement, and that's what they aim for. So it's not like wives can't talk to their husbands and make suggestions. We would be very quiet if we had that in our house. We have a lot of communication, and that's what you want, is loving communication. And yet, within that, and under that rubric, comes this delineation of roles where the wife is to be submissive to her husband as long as what he has to say is in line with God's word. Now, if some do not obey the word, see that here in verse 1, even if some do not obey the word. Now, this phrase might mean if he's an unbeliever. It might include if he's even violent. In such cases, attempting to discuss a husband's failures might be harmful, and we need to have outside counsel. And that is what we offer in the church. Your elders and pastors are there to help intervene and to counsel you as you run into difficulties, husband or wife or children for that matter. So God has us covered pretty well if we follow the entire narrative of the scripture. In any case, a wife's conduct is of primary importance that she may win her husband, or help him by her example. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. When they see respectful and pure conduct. So in a normal home, there's a lot of communication. There may be circumstances in the home where the husband is not that willing to listen, and there has to be an extra measure of subordination on the part of the wife, especially if he's not a believer. But I also want you to know that the pastor and elders are here to help you, and the women of this church are also here to counsel you if you run into those kind of difficulties. Now look at chapter 3, verse 3. Do not let your adorning be external, braiding of hair and wearing of gold and putting on of clothing and so on. Well, this is obviously not an exclusive do not do, because we all need to put on clothing. And it is a matter of balance and of what's priority. And we certainly affirm the beauty of the wife and the female beauty, and we cherish that. And we certainly want her to adorn herself as she likes, if possible, and admire her beauty, not putting that down at all. It's the point that this is not the main or critical way to communicate with your husband by external means. Sure, it can help in some cases, but it's not the main issue. Now, the main issue is found in verse 4 through 6. But let the adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now the key here is the heart, the beauty of the gentle spirit, a heart that the husband will admire and can approach him. The key is the hidden person, the real person, and the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. We'll see that taken up specifically with Sarah in just a moment. Now, are you with me? This is not new material for all of you, and it may not be your favorite subject, but it is God's Word, and we will continue here and hope you can benefit by this exposition. Holy women of old, the Bible says, adorn themselves and help men change their foolish ways. Now, an example of this, not Abraham this time, but actually King David. You children may remember, I don't know if you recall the story from the book of, I think, Samuel, where David was king, and there was a man named Nabal, N-A-B-A-L, and is not a name you will generally choose for your children. But Nabal was a wealthy man, but he was very abusive. And his wife was named Abigail. And Nabal irritated and insulted David, who was ascending to be king of Israel. And David's mind was to kill this rascal. But Abigail, the rascal's wife, intervened and reasoned with David that it would not be wise or even godly for him aspiring to be king to sort of bother with this rascal. And she tamed his anger, and he praised her. Now, the sequel is God killed that rascal in judgment, and he married Abigail, but that's not what my main point is. Don't try that. Now, the main illustration is Sarah, verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, not a capital there, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And that's quite a model to follow, not fear, having any fear. I'm not sure I can even reach that myself, but let's try. So the story is, Abraham and Sarah had to go to Egypt to survive. Famine in the land of Israel. So he goes down to Egypt, and Abraham says, hey, when we get down to Egypt, just tell people you're my sister, please. Because she was so beautiful, he knew that he could be killed for somebody in time somebody wanted his wife. So in submission to Abraham, as they went down to Israel, I don't know if she was asked or not, but it was kind of known by the king of Egypt and so forth that this was his sister. And something came up, and I can't remember what it was exactly right now, and it came known to the king that this was his, the king saw Abraham and Sarah kissing, I guess, something sweet. And he said, I don't think that's a sisterly kiss, you know, it didn't look to me like that. So he said, surely she's your wife. Oh, yeah. He said, you did foolishly. I or somebody else might have taken her and been under the judgment of God for adultery, that sort of thing. Well, Abraham was mightily humbled, but protected by God. They escaped. But Abraham is not praised here. In fact, he did this again one time, but rather Sarah is praised. That's the point. She's praised for putting her faith in God and submitting herself to her husband and doing so with a gentle and quiet spirit. Now, that's a lot to ask of a wife. But the example, she is the example, because in the hard experiences of life, she trusted herself to God, and God delivered her, and she's commended for doing good and not fearing. This is the way we live the Christian life. Men and women, all of us, kids as well, put our trust in the Lord and His Word and do what is right, and say what is right, but be submissive to those to whom you are supposed to be submissive, and that ultimately lines up with God Himself. This is the way Christians are to live. Now, in closing, you know, this is also the way Jesus Christ lived. When He came to earth, became God, became man, though He was fully God, He did not protest the Father's plan. The Father's plan was for His Son, Jesus, to lay down His life to redeem us by dying on the cross. Jesus, like Sarah, had a meek and quiet and submissive spirit, and He submitted Himself to the Father without fear. Now, for Jesus, it cost His life. But, of course, God honored Him and raised Him from the dead. So, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb or mute, submissive to your Father. And that, even though your submission to your Father involved great suffering, the great horror of taking our sins upon yourself, the great ignominy of being naked on a cross, of seeming to be cursed by God, there. Well, you were cursed by God for our sins' sake. But you were not a wrongdoer. You were completely loyal, completely submissive. And by that sacrifice, we are saved. Lord Jesus, blessed Holy Spirit, teach us to embrace proper submission to one another in this life and in this church. In all of our dealings, we pray in Christ's name, amen.